Thank you very much, Chair.
Welcome, welcome, Honorable Buyan. Morning.
Mr. Mulder, Chair.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning. I'm wearing my EFF clothes today. I hope the EFF doesn't feel threatened by it. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Yeah, your connection is breaking a bit. Maybe without a video, it will be great. Okay. Thank you. Welcome, Honorable Mulder.
Mr. Thring, Chair.
Honorable Thring.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, colleagues.
Chair, Mr.
Thank you. Welcome.
Mr. Cuthbert, Chair.
Honorable Cuthbert.
Good morning, Chairperson. And just to note that Mr. McPherson...
Recording in progress.
Slot, so he'll be joining slightly later.
Hi.
Okay. We note the apology. Good morning, welcome.
Pearson is on the platform, Chair, or he tried to be on, if I'm correct, Chair?
Okay, yes. Okay.
That is our membership.
Can you proceed?
Yeah. Then my request are my colleagues. Chair, may I request my colleague to
your line is breaking as well.
Can you hear me, Chair? Chair?
Okay.
I ask my colleague to call his members, Chair, of the PC on International Relations, Chair?
Good morning, Chair, and members. Good morning, Chair. Chair,
good morning,
in the meeting we have Honorable Mbanza, Honorable Swart, Honorable Ngola, Honorable Chetty, Honorable Faber, and Honorable Msane from the International Relations. May I also submit an apology on behalf of the Chairperson to should not be joining the meeting. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chair. So we do actually have the WIP welcome, WIP and members of the portfolio committee, welcome, good morning.
Good morning, Chair.
Yes.
Sorry, Chair.
Yes.
Yes, Chair, thanks very much, Chair. I think there was an omission from our committee secretary. We also have the deputy minister, Mashiko Dlamini, in our presence. Thanks very much.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'm sure we can actually be able to get to those. We want to check apologies, secretariat, and then be able to check those in attendance. I think the point raised by the member of Deputy Minister Mashiko Dlamini, we will then be able to check present. So let's actually get if ever there's any apologies.
Chair, we will flag the agenda. The apologies that we have is for Mrs. Tondo, Minister of International Relations. We have for Dr. Mkhize, Minister of Health. We have Ambassador Nlozi, who's the acting DG of DIRCO, and Dr. Buthelezi, the DG for Department of Health. They were not able to be part of the meeting, Chair, because of prior commitments, but we do have the attendance of, like the member indicated, the Deputy Minister, Ms. Mashego Dlamini, as well as our Minister, Mr. Patel, who is on the platform, Chair. We have an apology from Mrs. Yaku, Chair, who is not able to attend for our committee. That's the only apology, and Mr. McPherson has indicated that he will be attending in late, Chair. Those are the apologies, Chair, that I have, and you do have the list of people of ministers on and officials that are in attendance, Chair.
Okay. Let's actually just before we look at the adoption of the agenda before.
Sorry for not putting up my hand, but I think our VM Dina is also on the platform.
Yes, correct.
Okay. All right. So let's just check, that's Deputy Minister Gena, you said. Let's check, because from the information I have, the Minister Patel will be joining, acting DG, Mabitse Thompson will be joining us, and DDG Karim, Ambassador Karim, will be joining us. There's also attendance, which was actually raised earlier, of Deputy Minister Masiho Lamini. That was actually who was present and with us today. So maybe we can actually just check then with the agenda that is actually flighted, so that we can be able to actually get the meeting to... Yes.
Chairperson, Minister Patel raised his hand. Chair, I think this Deputy Minister raised his hand, Chair.
Oh, okay. Let's see it. Deputy Minister?
Minister.
Oh, Minister. Minister Patel?
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning to all the honourable members and the staff. Chairperson, I understand my office has tendered my apologies to leave at 10:45 for an 11 o'clock commitment.
Okay. No, thank you. Thank you very much, because I think we do have Ms. Anneli Swakpele, acting DDG from Health, and Ms. Khadija Jumalodin, acting director for affordable medicines, who are actually from Health. We are part of the team that is joining us today. Maybe for everyone, let's actually have a look at the presentation of the agenda, which we can look for adoption. We will actually be looking at the two parts presentation. The Department of Trade and Industry on the current negotiation in relation to the waiver of COVID-19 vaccine, and the input also by the Department of International Relations and Cooperation in the current negotiation in relation to the waiver. Let's check if ever there's an agreement that we can actually proceed with the agenda as proposed. Honourable members.
Chair, we have Mr. Mbuyane and Mrs. Hermans, Chair.
Honourable Mbuyane.
Chairperson, good morning. Once again, good morning to the colleagues. Chairperson, arise for the adoption of the agenda. Thank you.
Okay. Let's get a seconder.
Chair, we have Mrs. Hermans' hand raised, Chair.
Honourable Hammonds.
Thank you, Chair. I second the adoption of the agenda as tabled.
Well, obviously, let's also check. Maybe there might be an objection. Is there any objection to the adoption of the agenda? So, in the absence, let's actually then just say, before we
sorry, Chair.
Yes. There's a hand.
Hand is raised, Chair.
I don't have a problem with the move and the second, but I want to check, Chair. Today we have a plenary at 11 of the National Treasurer. Now I see our agenda goes beyond that. Now, what would be the situation? I would want to go over and look in this at 11. So.
Okay. No, I think let's try and see if we can be able to do most of what we need to do before 11. We won't actually maybe take much time on the issue of procedure. Then we'll ask the two presentations. presentation of the minister. I won't go much on the procedural issues. I will actually take it as, you know, understood, because I actually thought the one will actually have to speak to that. So I think let's actually agree that our meeting is 2 hours than 3 hours. And I think Minister Patel, you did suggest that you need to leave by 10:45. Can I actually ask that then we proceed? Because obviously we did circulate, I think all members did receive the concept document. I thought we were able just to take 5 minutes, secretariat, on that concept document before we actually get to the two presentation from the ministers, from the departments, and be able to actually then proceed with the discussions beyond that point. Unless there's a different suggestion, the portfolio committee joined. Are there any further suggestions? If not, can I then? Yes.
Jim, may I propose that given the time constraints that we have, is that we move straight with the presentation from the ministers. Members did receive the concept document, so I would assume they would have studied it. Just given the time constraints that we're having, Chair, that we proceed directly to the presentation from both DTIC and DERCO, Chair.
I think that's in order. Let's actually ask then Minister Patel. DTIC to actually take us through the presentation. I'm sure everyone has received that. Can we fly the presentation, Minister?
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and once again, good morning to all the honourable members and the staff of the department and Parliament. The presentation will be flighted now. It should be on the screen shortly. And I want to thank the members of Parliament for the opportunity to provide a brief presentation on the work that the DTIC is doing together with other government departments on matters relating to what has become known as the TRIPS waiver. If I could ask if the screen could be full size, and if we could go then to the next slide. The next slide, Honourable Chairperson, just sets out the contents, so to save time, I'm going to go straight to the slide number 3, which sets out a challenge that COVID-19 represents a major global public health and economic crisis, that official figures indicate about 3.5 million deaths globally from COVID-19, that work done on the gap between the number of people who have been declared to have died as a result of COVID and the number of people above the baseline who have died indicate that the real death rate is estimated to be between 7 and 13 million people. That as one instrument and one means to address this, we need a mass vaccination program across the world to break the global transmission chain. We have insufficient production, and that this is compounded by inequitable delivery of vaccine. It poses a threat to lives and livelihoods and to global economic recovery. We share with the committee the estimates by the World Bank of the economic cost of the pandemic, and that the number of deaths and the impact on livelihoods will continue to be negative as the pandemic continues. The next slide continues with the challenges. I'm just waiting for the slides to be changed.
Can get the person dealing with the slides to move them for the minister? Please, can you move to the next slide?
Going to slide number 4, We seem to have lost the slide connection, Chairperson. A copy of the presentation has, I take it, been circulated either last night or this morning. We can wait for the presenter to get back with these slides, Chair, or if you like, I can continue based on the circulated document.
May you proceed, Minister, but if you can just say which slide you're looking at and then you can speak to that. We'll try and actually maybe through our gadgets, if possible, honorable members, apologies for that, actually be able to scan through that as well, because this presentation was circulated. Can we actually proceed like that until maybe we get hold of those who are running the process, honorable minister? If you can continue, just beyond what's the slide, and then we actually can be able to connect.
Okay, so thank you very much, Jefferson. Slide number 4 continues with a challenge, and it says the major challenge is the shortage of supplies of vaccines and inequitable access to available vaccines. We make the point that unless manufacturing of vaccines is ramped up and supplies distributed more evenly, it will be at least another 2 to 3 years, and there are some projections significantly longer than this before a sufficient number of people, particularly in developing countries, are vaccinated. And this impacts obviously on lives lost, but it also gives the virus considerable time to spread and to mutate into more deadly or contagious strains. And to illustrate the size of the problem, by the end of this month that we've just completed now, 1.8 billion vaccine doses have been administered globally, with only half a billion people, less than half a billion people, fully vaccinated, meaning for most vaccines they would have taken both doses. And about 75% of all vaccines have been delivered to just 10 countries. Slide number 5 will set out the objectives of the waiver, and I should indicate that at the World Trade Organization, there is an agreement called the TRIPS Agreement, which stands for the Trade-Related Intellectual Property Agreement, and that regulates the rights of patent holders and copyright holders. And in order to overcome the supply challenge, South Africa and India have proposed a waiver of certain provisions of the TRIPS Agreement at the World Trade Organization. The objective of the waiver is to promote universal access to intellectual property for the production of vaccines, for diagnostics, and for therapeutics. In our view, the waiver would signal a multilateral undertaking that intellectual property rights rules will not constitute a barrier to boosting global vaccine production. It could encourage, enhance regional and international collaboration for the development, production, and supply of medical products, and would improve supply and access not only in the countries that would produce, but also with countries that have insufficient or no manufacturing capacity. Slide number 6 goes to the waiver discussions, and it provides just a little snapshot of the waiver discussions. The African Union, all the countries of the African Union have supported the waiver February session this year. We've also held discussions through something called the TRIPS Council of the World Trade Organization, considering the principle of a waiver from 2 co-sponsors, that is South Africa and India. The number of formal co-sponsors has grown, and many countries have come out in support of the waiver, in addition to those who are co-sponsors. Parliamentarians across the world have supported the call for a waiver from countries in developing countries as well as developed countries. As are former heads of state, Nobel laureates, and civil society leaders. South Africa and India are now seeking to build wide support across the developing and also the developed world for the waiver as part of the global campaign for vaccine access. Slide number 7 identifies what is needed in order to address successful increase in global supply, and this includes access to intellectual property, which is the fundamental issue that waivers deal with, or this waiver will deal with, the technology transfer and sharing of know-how, and the financing of plant expansion, or the repurposing of existing plants. We've all made the point at the World Trade Organization that this needs to be linked to more equitable supply arrangements, including rights to distribution for pharmaceutical companies in developing countries, especially on the African continent. Slide number 8 addresses the call for a COVID-19 package, and it sets out the overall vision of what is required in March this year. I was asked to address the meeting of the World Trade Organization, and on behalf of the South African government, we proposed a package of 5 measures, what we call the COVID-19 package, at the World Trade Organization. The first one is scaled-up production, working with pharmaceutical companies, with the transfer of technology, the production of the drug substance, and the production of the vaccine through a full and finished process, together with distribution rights. So covering the entire production chain and the distribution chain. The second component is a waiver of IP rights in specified areas to enable production without the veto that IP holders have in terms of the existing agreement. The third one is transparency. Transparency by pharmaceutical companies and countries on contract terms and on price fairness and stability. And that comes out because a number of pharmaceutical companies have non-disclosure agreements, and they lock many countries into these. And of course, public interest requires transparency on these. The fourth area is an agreement not to resort to vaccine nationalism through export controls agreed at global level, so that everybody across the world agree that we need to make the free movement of vaccines and related products as easy as possible. And the fifth one is an automatic provision that would have to be negotiated in future for TRIPS to apply in future pandemics. Now, this last one is not part of the waiver itself, if we can just go back to slide number 8, because the current request for legal reasons is for a waiver of certain articles of the TRIPS agreement. The concept of a waiver is not new in the World Trade Organization. There are waivers to different parts of WTO agreements that have been consented to in the past. And this package of 5 areas constitute something that a growing number of countries are now supporting. For example, France has come out very strongly in favor of transparency. As I will say later, the United States has come out in favor of a waiver of IP rights for vaccine. Germany has come out in favor of scaled-up production on a voluntary basis with transfer of technology. And it's most countries are agreeing to not resort to vaccine nationalism. And there's growing interest in the South African proposal that the TRIPS agreement itself needs to be revisited, which of course will take this is a series of legal steps to go through, so that there's an automatic provision that can be activated in any future pandemic. So our request has been that this package be taken as a whole, because they reinforce each other, and they would constitute a significant step forward in making greater levels of production available. Slide number 9 addresses the capacity enhancement, and we've just given a few examples here because together with the discussions at the World Trade Organization, we also need to address the capacity to utilize the commitments and understandings that we hope to achieve through the WTO waiver. Aspen, a South African pharmaceutical company, is currently producing the J&J vaccine in Kadeha. It's doing so on a contract basis, and it is open and ready to produce the drug substance itself, which is the raw materials that is utilized, and to undertake distribution of product. And it is in discussion to achieve technology transfer and licensing agreements. Biovac, which is a Cape Town-based company with significant shareholding by the South African government, is able to produce vaccines. It's producing non-COVID vaccines and medication, and it's engaged with global vaccine intellectual property holders to see how we can utilize the capacity at BioVac. We make the point that both countries can do full and integrated production based on the outcome of the WTO talks. Here and there, there would have to be some upgrading of systems, but they both are quite keen to be able to be fully integrated production units. We're looking at other options for new production, including efforts by Minister Nzimande, the Minister of Science and Innovation, to mobilize local know-how, to bring in more South African scientists and virologists and others to see how we can pool our knowledge to help strengthen capabilities locally. And then President Ramaphosa is promoting African vaccine production as an explicit objective, looking at manufacturing facilities across the African continent, not only South Africa. And he's made the point repeatedly that it's not only South Africa that has capacity, there are also other African countries. South Africa at the moment, through Aspen, has the most advanced facility that is able on scale to be producing, but there are capacities elsewhere on the continent. Slide number 10 deals with the scope and duration of the waiver, the obligations that we seek to have waived under TRIPS include ones dealing with copyright, industrial designs, patents, and something called undisclosed information. The scope covers health products and technologies that are necessary to treat COVID-19, and we give an illustrative list there. We've proposed that the waiver be enforced for a period of at least 3 years from the date of decision, and that there be a mechanism to review the circumstances justifying the waiver, and if the circumstances cease to exist, in other words, we've been able to contain effectively the spread of the virus, then a date of termination would be determined. And then we make the point that duration has to be practical for manufacturing to be viable. Slide 11 deals with state play. We began these discussions some while back. In fact, South Africa raised the matter of the relationship between trade and COVID-19 at the G20 Trade and Investment Ministers meeting in March last year. The waiver proposal was formally introduced by South Africa and India on the 2nd of October at the World Trade Organization. Currently, 63 WTO members have co-sponsored the proposal, and about 50 others have indicated their support. The co-sponsors have presented an updated proposal on the 21st of May, and a further TRIPS Council meeting was held yesterday to assess progress to get different countries to table their thoughts. Those who have not yet co-sponsored the proposal were given an opportunity to set out their views.
slide number 12 continues to take play. The President has engaged heads of state in a number of fora and bilaterally on the waiver proposal. More recently, as members of Parliament know from the live coverage from the Union buildings, included last week's state visit discussions with President Macron from France. Minister Pandor, the Minister of International Relations and Cooperation, has actively engaged counterparts across the world in support of the waiver. Much of our effort has been to try now to win the support of more developed countries so that we can build the necessary consensus in the World Trade Organization. And on the 30th of March, I had met with a new U.S. Trade Representative, which is the Cabinet Secretary for Trade in the United States, to outline the rationale for the waiver request. On the 5th of May, the United States gave its support for the waiver proposal. It became the first developed country to do so, and it has subsequently supported text-based discussions on the vaccines. This was a very, very significant step forward in building greater levels of a global consensus on the need for a waiver. A wide range of developing countries from our continent, from Asia and from Latin America have backed the waiver. New Zealand has come out in support of the waiver. Australia, we've met with the Australian minister and there's been some guarded support from Australia and Canada for the waiver. The European Union members do not have a common view on the proposal as yet. They've tabled their thoughts to us more recently. And a vote was held in the European Parliament a week ago in support of the waiver, where the majority of European members of Parliament have now come out to support the South Africa-India proposal. And I should also indicate that the European Union itself have now recognized that the existing flexibilities in TRIPS are inadequate, and so there's, everybody agrees that the current legal framework as it stands is not going to enable humanity to increase the supply of vaccines to get to the goal of universal access of vaccines. Slide number 13. Are the next steps. So the key thing that we're seeking now to get agreement on is to commence with text-based negotiations on the details of the waiver. But to do so, we also require broad consensus among WTO members. The way in which the World Trade Organization works is, by and large, its decisions are made through consensus. And we still have now to do a little bit more work with the European Union to build the necessary consensus. And the President's step in hosting a meeting with the President of France was a key element of that, as has been discussions with Germany. And we hope next week to have, in this month, in June, to have further discussions, including with other key players. Further efforts are underway to build consensus on a meaningful outcome that is reached on an expedited basis. The big challenge with the World Trade Organization talks is because they cover more than 160 countries, they tend to be very, very slow, and they can take years normally on other matters, and here we are trying to get a short text, a meaningful outcome, and one that is done very rapidly. Key issues that we anticipate, but of course everybody will put forward their own views, would be the duration of the waiver, how long it would last, its scope, which includes whether it would cover all of the proposed product range that South Africa and India have put forward, and the identified categories of intellectual property that would be waived. In parallel with this, we're in discussions with pharmaceutical companies and with governments bilaterally to address the wider obstacles the obstacles to support for the waiver and the scaling up of production. There's a G7 meeting, which is the seven countries that group together, seven developed countries that group together in the G7. They meet in the United Kingdom this month. President Ramaphosa has been invited to attend, and it's an opportunity to seek developed country support. So what we have to date is an extraordinary coalition of countries that have been mobilized in favor of the proposed waiver, placing health and lives as the top priority. Jefferson, that briefly summarizes the state of play on the waiver discussion. Thank you for the opportunity. May I hand back to you?
Let's actually get the other presentation, please. Because we actually... Yes. Yes, Honourable Member?
Chairperson, just for the record, the Portfolio Committee on International Relations did not receive the presentations that have been tabled on this meeting, just for record. Thank you.
Okay. No, that's fine. Thanks very much. We'll go through with that. Thank you very much, Honourable Member. Can I ask that maybe we take the presentation of Dirko?
Thank you very much, Chairperson.
If it can be flighted, Deputy Minister, welcome.
Well, I think our officials needed to fly in today, and I'm just checking whether they're online already.
Can we get the Dirko presentation shown up?
Yes.
We can actually, because the member has just actually reflected that it was sent out late.
Do they have the presentation?
Not sure, because you said they didn't receive the presentation.
Okay, can you give me 2 minutes to check the official person?
Yeah.
Who's to be joining us now?
Chair, a couple of presentations, Chair. It was forwarded to Dirko's officials to distribute to the relevant Dirko official chair. So the president, members should have, everybody should have the presentation.
Let's just check from members. I think there was actually owner member who just spoken to say they didn't receive that presentation.
Yes, it was myself, Chairperson.
Yes. Honourable Member, thank you very much. Let's actually check, because Msane Utawe Tulang.
I mean, I'm going to tell you alternate member, Dirko, but the members of international relations did not receive it.
Oh, all the other members didn't receive.
Yeah, alternate member of DTIC.
Chair, we will address it and ensure that they have a chair.
Okay. That's fine. Deputy Minister will actually then do the introductory part. If we can actually get to assist Secretariat to have the projection of the presentation.
Sure.
While it's presented, and then when we conclude, we will look at the best way forward, because it does look like the information haven't gone out earlier as we anticipated. Secretariat?
Chair, we were given a name of
Matru
that will flight the presentation on behalf of Dirko, Chair. So I do not know who will be flighting the presentation, Chair.
Okay. Can you assist with that, Secretariat, so that at least, because I have received that presentation, I'm sure you have it as well, if you can assist to flight it. And the Deputy Minister has just indicated that you be making an introductory remarks. Okay. Ladies, Deputy Minister, we do actually have the projection.
Thank you.
And then the actual DM, yes.
Thank you very
much.
I'll quickly, because of time, I will not make the introductory remarks. I'll quickly ask you to allow our presenter to present the document.
Okay. Thank you very much. Most welcome. Can we actually get the presenter to take us through? The presentation is flighted. Can I check with the presenter if ever he or she can be able to see the presentation? Because I think we can see it. Can we get Jacqueline then to take us through? We actually do have a time constraint. Can we proceed?
Well, thank you very much, Chairperson, because I don't know what's happening with the officials, but I will present the next slide.
Okay.
Yeah, Chairperson, the structure of our presentation is as follows, but we are not going to present the background because the Minister has also indicated we'll go straight to page 6 of the presentation. On page 6 of the presentation, Chairperson, is the role of the Department of International Relations and Cooperation in the issue of the waiver. The Department of Trade and Industry is a leading on this initiative through the participation of South African Trade Mission in Geneva to the World Trade Organization, supported by us as the department. So as a department, Chair, we have 154 offices representing across the world, either through bilateral embassies, high commissions, consulate, non-residential representation, honorary consulate representation, liaison offices, as well as multilateral mission. And as a department, we have effectively used this footprint around the world to conduct lobbying and outreach through our mission for support of the waiver. The next slide. The department has and continued to utilize the international platform to engage member states through bilateral engagement, as well as international conferences and summits to advance the TRIP waiver. In addition, during negotiations on international resolution, South Africa has advocated for the inclusion of the reference to the TRIP waiver. As President Ramaphosa Chair is leading a global initiative, that is the co-chair of the ACT-A Facility Council and the African Union COVID-19 champion, it is an opportunity for South Africa to use this platform to call on the international community and all member states to support the TRIP waiver. The next slide, Chair, that our department will continue to reiterate the President's call for support to the African continent in building its health system, including its infrastructure and capacities to mitigate the pandemic. And the department has also used and will continue to use its participation in the G20, G7, BRICS, and other platforms to advocate the waiver. The department as well as is positioned to understand the political and geopolitical relationship and dynamics with countries and continue to protect and promote South Africa's national interests and foreign policy priorities in line with the department's strategic priorities. The next slide, Chair, is the action that is required in terms of advocating for the waiver. And of this, Chairperson, we require that the priority is to garner more co-sponsors in support of the waiver in order to build political pressure at the WTO, as the minister has indicated, that number of countries have also co-signed the waiver. Then African, Caribbean and Pacific and members of the Caribbean community and common markets have not yet signed onto the waiver proposal. South Africa will continue to use its bilateral missions to target individual members in those groupings and conduct outreach at the highest political level in terms of visiting those countries by our principals, president, deputy president, and our ministers. The next slide, Chair, is the advantage of the waiver. I will pass that one because the minister has indicated what will be the advantage of the waiver. We'll go straight to slide number 12, the proposal for support by parliamentary committees. Chairperson, Parliament, we understand that Parliament is an instrumental in advancing South African priorities through its engagement in the international parliamentary platform, that is Inter-Parliamentary Union, as well as through regional and other platforms. That is the Pan-African Parliament that is confused as you say. It is proposed that the Speaker of Parliament could engage their counterpart on the waiver. And also, we feel that as the department, that the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee may provide support to this process by engaging its counterpart in both developing and developed countries on the importance and benefit of the supporting the temporary TRIP waiver. This intersectoral collaboration will most certainly be welcome and allow a range of stakeholders to understand and appreciate the benefit of this initiative by South Africa and India. On our conclusion, Chair, we understand that not all countries can produce everything by themselves, and no single country can sustainably supply the whole world with their existing manufacturing capacity. All efforts to prevent, treat, and contain COVID-19 must be based on the bedrock of human rights principles of international solidarity, cooperation, and assistance. There is no room for nationalism and profitability in decision-making about access to vaccines, essential tests and treatments, and other medical goods, services and supplies that are at the heart of the right to the highest attainable standards of health for all. Therefore, international property rights should not override state obligation to protect and fulfill the right to health, which entail providing for humanization against major infectious diseases to all without discrimination. I thank you, Chair. And we are sorry about the up and down.
Okay. Can we then agree? We know that there's lots of issues that haven't actually been managed effectively, but we are in our meeting today. I was thinking it will be helpful just for a few minutes just to check with my colleagues if ever there's any PC Portfolio Committee Chair would like to comment, or then the whips would like to comment, because I think we need to then to look at the next step before we get any questions or discussion. I was thinking that let's get comments from if ever there's actually any ministry. Health was not actually, did not present. And obviously, I think if ever there's any comment from the health department, take that. Then I'll ask if ever there's a colleague of mine, another chair of the portfolio committee present, and then I'll ask for the whips to be able to speak. In that order, can we actually be able to do that? Officials from health, are there any further comments on the discussion and the presentation? Secretary,
thank
we do
you.
Have... Yeah.
Chairperson. It's Annelies Ratele from the National Department of Health. We did not prepare any presentation. We are just following the discussions as they are going along, and if ever there are issues that we need to take home, we will then take it and depending on the guidance coming from the committee in terms of the expectation from health. Thanks a lot, Chairperson.
Okay. Let me actually then ask my colleague, is the Chairperson of Peace Portfolio Committee present who would like to give any comment? Colleague Chairperson?
Chairperson?
Yes. All right, Secretariat?
Maybe Mr. Skumbuse will speak on behalf of the chair, because I know there was an apology for the chair when we start proceedings, chair.
Okay. As to colleague Bob Skumbuse.
Yes, thanks very much. Combine the chair's input, because she has written something, but we share the same view. So it will be a combination of the input of the chair and the whip in one. So we witness President Ramaphosa advocating for the temporary terms on other medical interventions. In his engagements with the President Macron during his recent stay in South Africa, we support the joint initiative by South Africa and India in the World Trade Organization in pursuing a cause for humanity and human rights that every nation should be able to vaccinate its citizens. The SDG provide for health for all, and the initiative by South Africa and India is exactly that, temporarily waiving the paid and will create an opportunity for developing countries with manufacturing ability to produce more COVID-19 vaccines to help Africa and other disadvantaged countries. This is not the time to fold our arms and watch the vaccine apartheid unfold before our eyes. We will add our voice for the good of humanity and urge many partners to support this noble initiative by South Africa and India. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. May I check if ever there's any further comments from my colleagues? Okay. Honorable Hammonds.
Thank you very much. There's somebody called Mumisa on the platform whose mic is not muted, who's disturbing the meeting, Chair. If that person can just be muted. Chair, in supporting what the Whip for International Relations, Durko, in fact, as tabled, we as the portfolio committee, I think, or let me speak for the ANC component of that, greatly support this call for the waiver to ensure that we produce enough vaccines to make sure that the human rights issues around universal access to vaccines is met. So we want to ask Parliament to use all the international platforms at its disposal to obtain the consensus in the WTO in the work to get the vaccines, the TRIPS waiver in place. Thank you, Chair.
Recording in progress.
We have other colleagues.
We have Mr. McPherson, Mr. Mulder, Mr. Cuthbert, and Ms. Sani Chair.
Okay. Let me just check, have we checked if ever the other portfolios we actually did have the chair or the whip present would like to say something before we take the members of the committee? Because we look at the way forward, because there's lots of information shared, not a lot of time for us to be able to engage or discuss that we have now. Are there any further comments, Secretary? Are there any further comments from the other portfolios before we take members of the committee?
Chair, we have received comments from International Relations, Chair, as Portfolio Committee on Health is not in attendance because they are having busy with public hearings, Chair. So then we have received comments from Mrs. Herman's Chair, so I would assume that we may proceed into the questions of clarification if other parties wish to comment as well, Chair.
Okay, great. Honourable members, I think we actually do have to take those. You gave three names.
Chair, as indicated, Mr. McPherson, followed by Mr. Mulder, followed by Mr. Custis, Chair.
McPherson, Honourable Mulder. Okay. In that order, Honourable members, McPherson.
Thank you. And just to help you out, Chairperson, and remind you, there's no such thing as a committee whip, or a DIRCO whip, or a DTIC whip. There's ANC whips and DA whips, but there's no committee whip. So I'm not sure why we were taking the views of committee whips, because they don't exist. That being said, I find it rather interesting that the gentleman from DIRCO, and there's been some very colourful language used today, in that we can't fold our arms, as he said, we must do something, the words vaccine apartheid have been used, vaccine nationalism used extensively today. The truth is that we have sat on our arms and our hands and we've done nothing about vaccines. While the rest of the world was buying vaccines and producing vaccines and putting money into research and development to vaccines, we were picking out clothing items for people to buy and measuring the temperature of chickens and whether that they would be acceptable for sale or not. And that's what we were totally preoccupied with. I'm not saying we, I'll say the executive, were totally preoccupied with beating and shambocking citizens and telling them what they could and couldn't do, instead of actually buying vaccines, instead of putting money into research and development like many other countries did. So I think that there's a bit of a false outrage that's being portrayed here today. And I really wonder, Minister Patel, if we'd be having this discussion at all if South Africa had done, and the government had done, its constitutional right, its constitutional obligation to provide healthcare services for South Africans, and its duty to have procured vaccines when it should have, that they should have been paying the deposits on time. Instead, they missed them. The government seems to have stopped talking about COVAX altogether. That was supposed to be the silver bullet for vaccines, and yet we haven't received a single COVAX vaccine to date. So, I sort of find myself in a place of bewilderment that there seems to be this false equivalence between, trying to abrogate our responsibilities and the complete failure of leadership by the executive to procure vaccines, and somehow blaming it on everybody else, nationalism, apartheid, call it what you like. So I really think that that's a problem. The second thing I'd like to ask, Minister, is what is the trade-off between TRIPS wavering and the private sector putting money into research and development? Because that's the lifeblood of any sort of solution to the problems that one faces in a historic pandemic like this. How is intellectual property essentially still going to be guarded and rewarded and not seemingly disposed of to see this waiver come through. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Please, without much preambles, can we take the next speaker? Honorable, was it Carver? Secretary?
It was Mulder first.
Mulder, Chair. It was Honorable Mulder.
Oh, Honorable Mulder, then Carver.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable Minister, colleagues. I will be short without repeating what Honorable McPherson just said. There's lots of could have beens. I agree that South Africa can only blame itself for not being able to manufacture vaccines. We used to have the facility and the ability to do that, and that we could have done more. South Africa could have done better. Government could have done better. But here we are now, and as far as the waiver is concerned, I think it is important that we get into a situation where we would be able to manufacture vaccines. It is uneventably the fact at the moment. But the question that remains with me, I can't help to think, and I want to ask Honorable Mr. Patel this. We've seen the scale of corruption taking place in government, even with COVID-19 funds, and even in the Department of Health at the moment. Would South Africa be able to support the local manufacturing of vaccines, and who's going to manufacture it, and who will benefit from it? The question remains. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Carver.
Thanks very much, Chair. Just in addition to what Mr. McPherson had to say, could we not have used the money that was stolen by Digital Vibe, by the Depo family, by the rest of the cadres who decided to take money from the public purse for their own benefits to invest that into research and development of our own vaccine in South Africa? And that question still remains because those cases are still outstanding. And should we not be trying to recoup that money to try and pump it into the effort of procuring more vaccines? And secondly, Chairperson, what is the Minister's position on allowing the private sector to get involved? Because obviously they're far more efficient and effective at delivering services, have much wider logistics rollout platforms than what government itself does. I mean, we've seen we only have several hundred thousand vaccines that have been rolled out up until this point. And, you know, is he willing to actually, you know, come forward and say, well, you know, centralizing the procurement of vaccines and the rollout of vaccines has been a massive failure, and we now need to call on the private sector to get involved and come and help us sort out the shambles that we have created so that we are able to not only protect lives but livelihoods and return back to, you know, some sense of economic normality?
Let's take the next one. Is it Msanya?
Yes, Chair, it is. Thank you,
yes,
Chair. I have quite a few questions, and we have to say that we support the waiver. However, we can produce as many vaccines as we want without a proper rollout plan. All this will just transpire to be wasted efforts, Chairperson, because we've seen with the little vaccines that we get, it does not get to the final user, which is the people that it needs to get to. So without a proper rollout plan, this is useless. Chairperson, what is the manufacturing capacity of Aspen, which is currently producing your J&J vaccine? Also, India is currently producing or manufacturing the Sputnik. Why is South Africa not looking at such bilateral agreements? Meanwhile, why are we waiting for this process to take shape? Also, Chairperson, apart from Aspen and BioVac, does South Africa have the required resources and raw materials to manufacture this this COVID-19 vaccine, and where does South Africa plan to get the supply of the raw materials for the vaccine? Because as you may know, that with the supply and demand being so high for these raw materials of vaccines, it's also now a war of the richest versus the poorest on getting raw materials in order to manufacture. That's why that most international companies, especially America and the rest, are refusing to allow for other countries to manufacture vaccines, because now there is a fight on raw materials of manufacturing these vaccines. And then I heard the minister of DTIC saying that we are planning on upgrading machinery in order to start manufacturing. What duration is given? Because should this be approved in the June assembly, how long would it take South Africa to start getting the machinery to start manufacturing? Because you only mentioned Aspen and BioVac, and I'm not sure that their capacity is big enough. Apart from that, how much has South Africa allocated into getting the manufacturing of these vaccines, since we have seen a lot of the COVID-19 funds have been looted by politicians? I really don't see South Africa having enough funds to convert or to build up machinery to manufacture enough vaccines to vaccinate the population of South Africa. And with the little research that we've done, we find that the Caribbean countries are not in complete support of this wave. And the reason being is they are all looking now at the Cuban vaccine. The previous speakers have highlighted at the fact that why is South Africa not using the funds that are busy being looted in developing our own vaccine? Meanwhile, yes, we are looking for the waiver. But with the little money that we had, we could have started a process of developing our vaccine. And with the access that we have, because we are saying that South Africa is leading the African vaccine production, we've got the African CDC. Why are we not pushing for, if not then South Africa, the African continent, to develop its own vaccine? Because as we say now that the AU is in support of the waiver, but you cannot go as the AU to the World Trade Organization. You go as individual African countries. And how many of these African countries has South Africa lobbied to support this waiver of this TRIPS? Can we also agree, Chairperson, now speaking to the Deputy Minister of DIRCO and DTIC, that multilateral bodies such as the BRICS have not been very beneficial when it comes to the well-being and saving lives of their member states? Because looking at the current agreement that we are talking about, Brazil is not in support, but it's part of BRICS. Russia is under EU. It looks a bit shaky that these countries, we are in multilateral agreements which are only beneficial when it comes to serving the interests of capital and not the interest of lives, of livelihoods of the people. Also, Mr. McPherson mentioned the COVAX program. This COVAX program is really not serving South Africa at all. And I really don't understand why would we want to be part of such a program. It tells us that South Africa is willing to spend or engage in so many programs that are non-beneficial to itself in order to build relations with countries that are so nationalist when it comes to the vaccine program. So, Chairperson, if we can get a clear indication, if we can get a clear indication of how has this COVAX program assisted South Africa or the African continent, because we're going to be told they have delivered vaccines to Ghana, they've delivered vaccines, but South Africa particular, and we do not expect Germany and all these other countries to support this waiver because they have funded the COVAX program more than anyone. The EU has funded the COVAX program more than anyone, which was supposed to be the lifesaver of the whole world during this pandemic. And then my last point, Chair. We were supposed to be in the Interparliamentary Union last week. It had its 142nd assembly last week. And let me tell you, Chairperson, for Durko to come here and make these bodies as if they are lifesavers of this country is nothing but a waste. There was no participation from South Africa in such bodies where countries were debating. Countries were debating vaccines. Countries were that was a greatest platform for South Africa to go and advance this agenda. But because of lack of interest and because we have excess money that we can waste as South Africa, we go and we pump money in bodies such as Interparliamentary Union and we send delegates where no one goes and no one participates, Chairperson. I must say that it is very disturbing for South Africa, even Durko, to come and mention these interparliamentary bodies which are not serving the interests of South Africans. Thank you very much.
Can I check the secretariat if ever there are any further hands?
We have,
because I know we don't have much time.
We have Mr. Faber Mr. Swart, please.
Mr. Faber?
Faber and
Swart. And
Mrs. Swart. Mrs. Swart.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, Chairperson. Minister Patel was saying that it would take approximately 3 years for most citizens to be vaccinated with this whole TRIPS agreement of starting to create vaccines, etc. The issue for me is that Europe will be vaccinated fully by November. So, you know, by November, we would not even have started vaccinated people under the age of 60 in South Africa. Now, that's disgusting to actually just think about all the money that's been gone wasted by the corruption line since the last year. And I would like to know, like, if that money can be recuperated, and can we not then get bigger orders in as well, as Europe will already be finished by November with vaccinating all their citizens. Surely, if the European Union and these people can do that, we don't have to wait for another 3 years. All our people in South Africa and Africa should be vaccinated. So I'd like to know what Mr. Patel would say about that.
Can you take the next one, Secretariat?
Mrs. Swart, Chair.
Mrs. Swart.
Thank you, Chair. We appreciate the presentation to our two committees on this important subject. This exercise is a good test for the implementation of our economic diplomacy by our two departments working collaboratively to ensure that South Africa deploys its soft power to the fullest. Whether or not there are institutional mechanisms in place for the DTIC and DERCO to deliver economic diplomacy for the achievement of government's priorities as provided for in the MTSF. If so, to what extent has that played itself beyond the TRIPS waiver discourse before the WTO, especially at bilateral levels of engagement? What is the ratio of foreign economic representatives to the DERCO transferred officials deployed at South Africa missions abroad. To what extent are missions residents in our country being engaged by the two departments on the TRIPS matter, in particular, and any other trade or investment issues in general? Can we safely say we have a South Africa inclusive approach to economic diplomacy? Thank you, Chair.
Can you take further hands? Are there still extra hands, Secretariat? Because I know that we do have a tight time frame. We actually have to look at the way forward as well.
Chair?
In terms of our engagement today. Secretariat?
Chair, we have no further hands, Chair.
Okay. Can we then actually invite the ministers, deputy minister, and the departments? Minister Patel?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Honorable Mpanza, I think, makes a really important point around urgency, that we need to move with speed to get the matter of supply increased, and I'd like to appreciate the support that he expresses for the waiver. Honorable Hermans has also, can I appreciate the support she's expressed for the waiver request and the commitment, or at least the call, to use all the platforms that the South African Parliament has available to put forward the arguments around the waiver, by which I mean platforms elsewhere in the world. So appreciate that very much. Honorable McPherson, I should indicate yet again, has not missed the opportunity to score political points at a time when there are very significant issues at stake. But let's deal with some of his issues. Vaccine nationalism is not a colorful language used by ourselves. It's language that is used across the discussions. Everybody recognizes the importance of avoiding vaccine nationalism. The developing countries say that. The developed countries say that, so perhaps we could urge Honorable McPherson to join the world and come out of the little isolation that he clearly is digging himself into. There is something important that we need to address, which is how to ensure that a facility, a research and development critical to innovation in medicine and in many other parts of life is sustained and supported. So let's look at the facts. In this particular instance, just about every vaccine that has been developed has benefited enormously from public funds. Resources that have been mobilized by governments, by the public sector at enormous levels, in some cases unprecedented for an effort of its nature and the limited period that was available. So billions of dollars have been mobilized across the world to support R&D. In many cases, developing countries have contributed. In the case of South Africa, for example, a number of these vaccines have been in trials here in South Africa, stage 2 trials where South Africans participated to assist those companies to ensure that the R&D, which is the one stage of it, is supplemented by the human trials and give the feedback to indicate the efficacy and the value of the vaccines. So when we take the financial and the non-financial support that has been given, not only by the shareholders of the big pharmaceutical companies, but by societies, by governments, it seems to us to be a compelling case when so many people are dying that indeed the intellectual property should be made available. Now, it's a point that has been made in the discussions we've had with many developed countries, where even governments in developed countries recognize
that the pharmaceutical companies are making their margin at the moment in wealthier economies. They're getting the price, they're getting their return, and the intellectual property waiver is temporary, it's time-bound, and it would enable a scaling up of this across the world. Our responsibility as governments and as public representatives is to ensure that we save lives in these cases. So I think we are mindful of the importance of supporting and sustaining R&D, that we are able through our efforts to encourage more private and public funds to be put into research and development, because even with the current vaccines, more R&D is needed, so that as we have mutations and we have new strains of the virus, that humanity, our scientists, our medical personnel are able to respond effectively to these. So we believe that we are seeking to strike a careful balance between the importance of research and development, fostering it, supporting it, and at the same time having a capacity to save human lives. And this for us is important. Honorable McPherson and Msani has raised the issue of COVAX. COVAX was a global effort to pull both developed and developing country buying power, so that a number of different pharmaceutical companies could have the guarantee that there would be off-take commitments. In other words, if they make the big breakthrough, that someone would buy these products. In the case of COVAX, there have been one significant challenge, and that is the vaccine that it had hoped would have the greatest volume availability, which is the AstraZeneca vaccine, which has proven to be very effective in dealing with COVID, in providing the immunity to COVID, was regrettably not that successful, I am told by colleagues who are more knowledgeable than I am, that the investigations and the studies have shown that they're not as effective against the strain which is called the 501V2 strain that was first identified in South Africa. And so that was not contemplated at the time of the COVAX arrangement. But COVAX, of course, also has access to other vaccines, but in smaller quantities. Honorable McPherson makes a meal of the issues around had only South Africa placed orders earlier. I would point him to the discussions and the very public spat between the European Union and the United Kingdom on issues of vaccine availability, and some quite revealing comments that have been made by heads of state and leaders in the European Union and in the United Kingdom about the true market for vaccines. And it's not only about who places orders when. There are a range of other matters which I will leave. Public record speaks loudly to those. And the European Union and the UK have said quite a bit on the record and publicly on those matters. I hope really that we could unite as South Africans around this matter, that there would be disagreements on other matters, but when the discussion is on the waiver, not the other issues, that as parliamentarians and as public figures, that there would be support for a compelling moral request that South Africa and India have made, that in the light of this enormous loss of life across the world, that humanity pools its scientific knowledge and makes available, through acts of global solidarity, vaccines to more people across the world by increasing the supply capacity.
Honourable Mulder, thank you for recognising the importance link between the waiver and the manufacture of vaccines. And you asked the question around corruption, which has also come up elsewhere. And I should make the point that a waiver would enable private sector players in different countries to utilize the intellectual property and the underlying technologies to produce. We had an opportunity at the University of Pretoria on Friday when there was a hybrid conference addressed by President Ramaphosa and President Macron, but also by a number of scientists from South Africa and medical regulators. And they pointed to a number of issues, and what came out there should make every South African enormously proud. When people from across the world were recognizing, both in those discussions and in the bilateral meetings, the capacity that South Africa has been able to develop through Aspen and BioVac. With these kind of facilities, it takes a number of years to set up from scratch. In the case of Aspen, this was a facility that before COVID, the South African government had worked with a company to provide them with the necessary support through the Section 12I facility in our tax code, and the DTIC had collaborated with a company in enabling a state-of-the-art factory to be built at a time when nobody anticipated COVID would come about. And that facility, which was announced by the President at the investment conference in, I think it was 2018 or 2019, but certainly before the COVID challenge had hit the world, that facility was then capable of being repurposed. And I've heard heads of state from different countries, from the African Union, from Europe and elsewhere, speak very, very highly of Aspen's capacity and what Aspen is doing. Honorable Msani, Aspen's current capacity is 300 million doses that it can.
Minister, are you cutting?
I hope this...
Maybe you can remove your video. Your answer is cutting. Can close your video, maybe it will improve your...
Chair?
You're cutting.
Chair, we don't have a problem, Chair. I think the challenge may be on your side. We can hear the Minister clearly.
Can close your video, Minister.
Chairperson, the problem is definitely with you. We're all hearing the Minister exactly fine.
Thank you, Honorable Hermans. So really what we seek, what we're hearing from foreigners is enormous respect that they have for the capacity that has been demonstrated to date by Aspen. I have now heard the German Chancellor speak directly about Aspen. I've heard President Macron speaking about Aspen. I've heard a number of African Union heads of state speak about Aspen. I've had ministers calling me trying to set up meetings, ministers from other African countries setting up meetings with Aspen so that they can share some of their know-how as other African countries too seek to expand their capacity to produce vaccines. And we've taken the view at South Africa that we will encourage our pharmaceutical companies to be as supportive to building capacity on the African continent. We're in this together and we need to work together on this matter. So this is something that we want to open up much more, Honorable Mulder. It's not a matter only for governments. It's one where private sector players in developing countries should be able to play this role. But of course, what has become clear is that it needs that partnership. And so we are ready to support within the capacity of government on these areas. Honorable Cuthbert has raised questions that I think he would be some of the issues that I've addressed. But I should make the point that obviously
and it's a point that someone else has also made, we don't solve all of our problems only through a waiver. And we don't solve all of our problems only through the supply of vaccines. Now, there are many other things that we must also get right, including in South Africa and across the African continent and elsewhere in developing countries, to build the systems of rollout. And those honorable members that have pointed to that make a valid point in that that is an important part. It's connecting the supply of vaccines with citizens across the world who need those vaccines. And I'm sure that colleagues that are responsible for the rollout would be able to provide more detail, but there is a partnership between the private sector and the public sector in that regard. On the issues raised by Honorable Msani, thank you for the support for the waiver, Honorable Msani. You've raised the issue of the rollout plan, which I've indicated. Other colleagues will be able to provide more detailed information on it. But what we're seeking to do now is we're rolling out principally at this point the Pfizer vaccine, which is built off the technologies by a German company called BioNTech, whom we are also in discussion at the moment with. And we are awaiting for the regulatory unblocking of the J&J vaccine. Here's an interesting example of the challenges of vaccine production. The drug substance that is used for the manufacture of J&J has been produced in an establishment, a factory in the United States in Baltimore. And they had problems at one point with maintaining quality standards in this American factory. That has resulted in a pause while the regulators look to make sure that that raw material contamination has been properly addressed and resolved. And in fact, in the course of those discussions, J&J has also asked the South African company to provide technical support to the American supplier, because we're in this together. We've got to find wherever we have good people, technically skilled people, we need to try to share them, because lives, an American life is as important as a South African life, which is as important as a Ghanaian life or a Russian life or a Chinese life. Life is precious, and the collaboration and the sharing of human know-how across the world is fundamental. On the issues of Sputnik, this is a matter that the Minister of Health is dealing with through the regulators. We have a process in South Africa through the through SAHPRA, which is the health products regulator, that they require information on all vaccines, including vaccines that are manufactured in South Africa. So in a number of cases, that request has been shared, and information as it is received by SAHPRA and as it goes through the processes and are certified within enable production. So we've got to make sure, obviously, that when production is enabled in South Africa, it's off drug formulations that have been approved by the regulator. On the resources for Aspen and BioVac, it's a very interesting conversation that we had with the French delegation and the German delegation last week, in which the CEO of one of our big pharmaceutical companies said that finance is not the fundamental problem. It's really getting the technology transfer and the offtake commitments. In other words, that countries commit to buying over the next 2-3 years these vaccines that are produced, because of that, a business case is developed and investors and banks and others will easily come in. Our development finance institutions can support and so on. So we are looking to find a model that combines the best of private fundraising and public fundraising, but the key to unlocking it is the technology transfers, and we're dealing now with that, including through the discussion
at the WTO. The upgrading of machinery, there are a number of, there is current capacity in Aspen and in BioVac. Some of this will need to be enhanced when we want to increase the numbers beyond what is currently possible. Typically, these take many years for machines to be made and customized for establishments. We're looking at some new and innovative ideas with other countries, and I'm sure the companies concerned will make an announcement as and when they've concluded these discussions. So it's not a budget item that DTIC says, here's the money. It's really trying to find the viable case for the production of these. And if it requires some support by government, of course, we will, within the resources, make that available. But the companies themselves have said the key, the area that they really want us to focus on is the area of facilitating and supporting efforts at technology transfer and the offtake commitments. COVAX is an example of an offtake commitment. If COVAX could agree, as we wish them to agree, that they will take a certain portion of the vaccines that they buy globally, they'll buy it from African producers, it will enormously enhance the business case for the production of vaccines on the African continent. On the Caribbean countries, Honorable Msani, a number of them are supporting South Africa and India, but they are not yet co-sponsors. There are two types of support that can be given. The first is people who formally sign off on the actual text on the table from South Africa and India, and they are called co-sponsors. And the second one is people in the TRIPS Council who very much like in Parliament who stand up and indicate that their delegation supports the request for discussions on the waiver. So it's not that we don't have any support in the Caribbean, but we are now hoping that we can upgrade the support to co-sponsorship. Have we lobbied African countries? Yes, quite extensively. Durco has been really exceptionally strong in mobilizing the support networks. President Ramaphosa has himself played a very, very active role in all of this previously as chairperson of the African Union until February this year, and subsequently as the champion, the AU champion around vaccines. And he's put together not only teams that have engaged other African countries, but he himself has engaged other African heads of state. And so it goes beyond just our normal work. We've put huge effort. And that's why we have this absolutely extraordinary coalition of countries, something that no one would have anticipated before October last year, that within what for WTO purposes is quite a short period of time, that we have such a significant group of countries that now support the waiver. On individual members of BRICS, of course, on many issues, the BRICS countries would have similar views. On some issues, they may have different views. It would not be the first issue. BRICS doesn't mean there's agreement on every single issue. It's like any coalition, that there would be issues that unite the coalition, and you work on those issues, and you try to build and expand these with time. Honorable Faber, the question that you've raised around the period that Europe will have full vaccination, we of course, the Europeans and the rest of the world, everybody recognizes that we're in uncertain territory. Nobody knows whether booster shots will need to be available on an ongoing basis, and those booster shots would have to be produced in the same facilities that produce the original vaccine. We don't know whether new strains and new mutations of the vaccine will require completely new types of vaccines beyond what have currently been approved. There are some very exciting and interesting different technologies being explored, and some of them are now at the stage of human trials. They differ from the current technologies that are utilized, and if they are successful, they may prove to be even more effective. But these are things that have to go through the normal processes of scientific validation and then regulatory approval. Of course, the order situation is constrained fundamentally by the supply constraint. And I should indicate, Honorable Father, that one of the difficulties that many developing countries have had, because bear in mind the statistic that we use, that 75% of the vaccines that have been administered have gone just to 10 countries. And when you look at that, those have tended to be countries that are quite wealthy. By and large, that's been the biggest off-takers. And in many cases, it's been a concern that governments have expressed from developing countries across the world that developing countries will be given access to the vaccine, but they are placed at the end of the queue. The vaccines would be promised for the last quarter of 2021, or it would be promised for 2022. And in many cases, pharmaceutical companies do this not only based on the price that would be paid, but it does seem to us, and this is a concern that we've expressed in the discussions, that they do so looking at future long-term business on other medical products from those countries. And they look at markets that have the greatest ability to pay. These issues equitable sharing has also come out in the discussion between the European Union and the United Kingdom. So I think many countries that have placed orders,
Minister,
finding
your connectivity, and you'll have to round up, Minister.
Thank you. And I think that largely covers the questions that have been asked. Honourable Swartz have raised issues around the FARs and the broader inclusive approach, and I think it is an area that we believe we've made very solid strides. And we are engaging those missions both in South Africa and in Geneva, where we believe it is necessary to get them on board. So may I wrap up, Chairperson, by indicating that this is an extraordinary time we live in. It's an extraordinary effort. Parties will have their points of view about different things, but this is one issue that I think South Africans can unite around. The question of the waiver request, and I would hope that we get the full support of everybody, whilst recognizing on other issues there will be different points of view, and that we can...
Recording in progress.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson, for the opportunity to respond to the questions.
Thank you very much, Minister. I've just picked up that it's my side that is terrible. Yours actually is going excellently. So let me actually ask that we actually agree that we do support South Africa and India temporary waiver proposal on COVID-19 vaccines. And I think what might be important, we would actually secretariat on our side and just issue a statement by the end of the meeting. Just to conclude the process. So I think we will actually leave it at that, and our meeting will actually conclude on the basis of the interaction that we have actually had, and welcome all those who are actually able to connect. And unless maybe there's something that we need to actually to look at, Secretariat, can we check the Portfolio Committee DTIC tomorrow meeting? If you can actually just give us some detail to that. And thank all those who have connected for their involvement, participation, and connection. Secretariat?
Chair, in terms of tomorrow's meeting, we will receive a briefing by the Competition Commission on its strategic and annual performance plans, Chair, for the 2021-22 financial year. Then we will also consider the outstanding minutes, and we will consider the program for the third quarter going forward, Chair.
Okay. May we then actually appreciate and thank all those who have connected, and may I actually, because of the pressure of time, stay adjourned as the meeting. Can I say our meeting is adjourned? Colleagues, thanks very much for being able to make time for us to actually get involved on this process. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.